Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my host. Yeah, I was going to introduce myself twice. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Anisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And we're going to be talking about, of course, the agreement that has been made in Washington and how long it's going to be extended, and will we receive this again, have the same thing happen again come January, February. We're also going to be talking about Detroit, the billions of dollars that were spent on extra pensions in the second segment. And our interview today with Gerald Cinlenti was actually rescheduled for tomorrow. So he will be on our Thursday program, still in the second segment. So Al and I will do the normal first segment. Wendy has been postponed till next week for her normal 20-minute segment on Thursdays. And Gerald Cinlenti will be joining us on Thursday for the second segment. Today's Wednesday, October 16th, 2013. Let's just get right to the markets. Before I goof anything else up, let's see. Gold is basically unchanged at 1281. You have silver up 2 pennies at 2142. Platinum up $18 today at 1403. Palladium up 11 at 721. Yes, debt ceiling's done, increased, and the economy's going to be good, so platinum, palladium. Oh, it's going to have all that needed for that, all that extra demand. You have the USDX today. Whew. That's higher today by 0.02 at 80.46. Crude oil up a buck, a little over a buck at 102.27. Paper markets today. Let's go to the paper markets. Oh, the Dow added 202 points. 205 points at 15,373. You had the NASDAQ up almost 1.25% at 38.39. S&P was up a little over 1.25% at 17.21. And so, of course, all the markets were up most of the day today, opened up strong, stayed there all day long as everyone was anticipating some sort of a debt deal to be reached today. And, of course, it is. I guess they still have to vote on it, but it's pretty much a done deal. Boehner has actually come out, Al, and said, you know, hey, it was a good game, but we lost. And, yeah, I said, yeah, you guys did lose. You know, what a bunch of losers you are. And not only did you lose this, but guess what? You'll be losing the elections next year also. So they just don't, to me, they don't stand up for what they start out to do. They don't follow it all the way through. And, you know, it's certainly, and the whole focus, of course, was actually, my understanding, it all started out with the defunding Obamacare. That was Cruz's all-night lecture, his filibuster and everything like that, as to make sure that was not funded. And yet, very little change on that. And they, from what I understand, they're actually conceding to, for those who are looking to get subsidies from the Obamacare, we'll make sure they qualify, which is just really kind of funny. But it's sad. And I certainly didn't want to see, you know, us default on the, you know, I mean, certainly what follows after if they didn't come with the deal and so forth. As we talked yesterday, Al, I don't think anybody's really truly prepared or really knows what to expect. However, I would have thought that these Republicans could have bluffed a little bit better. And if they would have taken a little bit closer, they probably would have had a little bit of chance of getting something that they wanted, but it's just
Who knows what they wanted exactly? It's hard to say, but it's pretty much amazing.
Hey, defunding
that they
Obamacare
stood up,
would have been good.
Well, I understand that, but that may have been overly optimistic. Hard to
be.
Say. I don't feel. I'm not angry, upset, or I'm kind of pleased with the Republicans. They at least took a shot at it. Some of them are standing up for what the Republican Party supposedly stands for, which is limited government. It's not necessarily a majority, but a significant minority of the Republican Party. They took a shot. You know, maybe it hasn't worked out, but this isn't over by any stretch of the imagination. Let me see if I can find that article. Where is the article? In any case, I don't remember if I have it on. Because we expected that Mr. Salen, here it is. Senate leaders announce agreement to end shutdown, raise debt. This is in the Washington Times. All they're really doing is extending this up into part of it will go into January and part of it will go into February. And let's see which part is which. December deadline for, they're going to establish a December deadline for a final deal on the 2014 budget. Well, they had a deadline, and it was yesterday. All right, that's at least one deadline. The truth is we've had more than one deadline on this, but we had the deadline du jour was tomorrow. And what they've done is they've simply, the spending bill is going to keep on running until now, January 15th, and the borrowing authority will go through at least February 7th. They've just made temporary measures to kick the can down the road a few more months. Nothing's really been resolved here. They've just eliminated the immediate problem. The immediate deadline problem has been eliminated by setting a new deadline, which is a little bit like if I send out a non-sufficient funds check, and I have until the 30th of the month to make good, and I go to court and ask them to give me another 30 days to make good on my NSF check. And when the next 30-day deadline approaches, I go to court again and ask for another continuance. Sooner or later, you're going to run out of continuances. You can even ask yourself, why is it that they don't have a deal right now? And, of course, all we're talking about is the Senate has reached an agreement. All right, the Senate has apparently reached an agreement. But the House of Representatives has not yet necessarily agreed, although if Boehner is in on the deal and he says he's going along with it, that's probably the way it's going to work out. And on the one hand, it's not surprising. We talked about it. You know, we have anticipated that they would stretch this out pretty much to the last minute, and then they'd come to a deal. Well, they've come to a deal, right? Apparently, just before they run out of time. But all they've done is extend the deadline, kick it down the road a little further, which means that they can't really get a resolution at this time. They've kind of postponed the game on account of rain. All right, we don't have a final on this yet. We're going to wait another 60, 90 days, and then we're going to have another deadline. And then we are going to see if something can be done. But my point, and what I'm groping for, is why couldn't they resolve the problem today? What are they going to do 60 days from now that they couldn't have done today? Truth is, they haven't solved the problem. They've just postponed it.
You know, I guess there's a way in which you also concede to something, too. I mean, they didn't say that, you know, we're going to go ahead and we're going to go with this because, you know, for the good of our country and all the BS that comes with it and so forth. I mean, it was like, hey, yeah, we lost this one. I mean, you know what? They are all in. They knew exactly where it was going to go. They take you to the last minute. That they're just prepping for elections next year. They will keep this thing together. And if, and as I said, if you have all Democrats getting in next year, which is pretty easy to you know, Republicans are going to have a real hard time getting elected next year.
I don't think so.
I do.
I don't think so. I don't think the American people will remember this any more than they remember the 2011 debt crisis we had.
And you'll have every Democrat out there voting to make sure that they get rid of those Republicans. Oh, we hate those Tea Partiers. They closed down.
We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes because, as I've, you know, we've talked about it on the program here for the last 10 days off and on, there appears to be a limited government movement that's catching fire in this country. It may well be that the Democrats are going to have a very serious problem almost no matter what they do. And everybody despises Congress. Congress has the lowest approval rating it's ever had. How can you make...
Yeah, well, they've had that for years.
Well, this is just...
And you have a point. You said short memories. You're right. All this limited government talk and everything else, all these people, these are people who've never been there before. They decided to rise up and say something at this particular time. And I guarantee you come September and October, November next year, their memories are going to be so short, they'll have failed to remember what they actually drove to Washington for.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I'm going to remember. I'm going to remember your prediction. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Please,
and
do.
We're going to, in a year from now, we'll see about that when we have the next year's election rolls around. We'll see whose prediction is whether the limited government movement is gaining more momentum or everybody's just forgot about everything except who won Dancing with the Stars.
You're going to get all Democrats in there, and then once all those Democrats are in there, Katie barred the door.
Yeah, it's what kind of a gift is not. The President's Party always loses in midterm elections.
Yeah, well, this one's a little different now. And you have to remember, they're all the same, you know?
Well, you mean all the congressmen, and senators are essentially the same. And I've agreed with that. I would have agreed with that quite a lot, except we've just seen part of the drama unfold based on the Tea Party members of the Republican Party. They're not playing nice. They're not necessarily just under control. They're a minority section of the Republican Party, but there's enough of them where they can raise a little trouble. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I think it'd be a great idea if the Tea Party got some more people elected, and they just might in this next election.
Not this one. Now, I think so. Come 2016, yes. I think come 2016, you might have a very good chance to be running a third party because by 2016, it will be all done and over with, and there
and
will be.
The third party is in the midterm elections.
Yeah.
And the reason is because we typically have the least number of people showing up to vote. And that creates an opportunity, a mathematical opportunity for a third party.
I don't think
we're going to get a third party of significance in this.
They will make a noise. Just wait till 2016, and we'll wait until, you know, people are losing in their retirement accounts, and you know, people are beginning to pay the Obamacare. They're not going to be affected until after the elections next year on the Obamacare. So, you know, they got another year. To see their increased rates. They have another year to see, you know, gee, I went to the doctor and they turned me down, or, you know, I only got 4 stitches when I was supposed to get 10. So, you know,
We're going to have the Stitch of the Month Club.
But here's something interesting.
You go in to see the doctor, and they're going to ration the stitches, Melody.
But you better start saving your money, because the U.S. debt, which has jumped 55% under Obama, is now so high that if working Americans had to pay their full share, the bill would be over $123,000. And that's based on
per person.
Yep.
Yeah, and that depends on how you calculate the debt. Again, if you calculate according to Congressional Budget Office, they say it's over $202 trillion, including unfunded liabilities, and I believe that works out to right about $250,000-$270,000 per person, dollars per person. There's no way that debt can be paid. And it's a fundamental theme on this program. We've been harping on it for years.
And if it was converted into pennies and stacked, would be a column that would reach to the moon and back more than 3,350 times. So start saving your pennies, folks.
Yeah, well, the point, of course, is that no way the debt can be paid.
Nope.
And the danger in that is that those of you that are holding those debt instruments are going to find out that they're worthless. And we harp on that argument on a regular basis on the program, but that's the point. If all they did, they had every 50 years in the Bible, they had a jubilee in the Old Testament. And where they canceled all debts, wiped out all debts every 50 years. And that's probably very intelligent. That may have been a very intelligent choice. But they used their notion of wealth was an asset. And debt was not wealth. They could wipe out the debt and they wouldn't affect the wealth. But in this society, we have converted, it's an extraordinary situation where we've converted our thinking to where we accept the idea that these debt instruments, these little green pieces of paper in your wallet, they're debt instruments. They're not actually assets. We are treating them as assets. And we have become conditioned to the idea that they're wealth. And the day is coming that those of you who are holding on to the debt instruments, when it turns out the debt can't be paid, you're going to find out that your debt instrument and your supposed wealth is actually vaporized, doesn't exist anymore. It's bye-bye. And all of a sudden, you're going to be sitting there, oh, my God. It's like holding Confederate money. We are going to see that moment, although not necessarily this year or next year. I don't know when we're going to see it, but we could see it as early as this year. We could see it as early as next year. We don't know when it's going to happen. Here, let me give you one more thing on the... I just have,
according to a report from, I don't know, if McIver Institute, once you complete the process for the Obamacare on their website, you're then immediately asked to register to vote. And, of course, this is a strategy designed to make the beneficiaries, the government beneficiaries, into lifetime Democratic voters. And, you know, so go ahead,
Al. There's no business like show business,
but
the possible business of politics business.
Yeah.
Here's one of the things that we're talking about, the debt limit that we were going to see tomorrow. All right, and here we are at the last day before the debt limit. They have now created a new limit. So you wonder, what is the limit? Is there such a thing as a debt ceiling limit? And here is an article from July 29th of this year, entitled 70 Straight Days. Treasury says debt stuck at exactly $16,699,396,000,000. That was 70 days on July 29th. That goes back to May. The debt has been, we actually hit a debt limit in May of this year. And they've said, no, it just stayed exactly at our $16,699,000,000,000. It stayed right there for the 70 days up until July 29th, and it continued. That's what it is basically now. The whole thing is illusion. What does it all mean? Where is there any significant order, limits? How can you know what's going on? How can you make sense of it sometimes if you can't even get people to recognize their own deadlines? I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Ask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs, do we have a special for folks today, Melody?
Yes, we have a Mint State 61 $20 Liberty gold piece. We were selling that today for $1,495, and that also included a one-year online, it is online-only, subscription to Gerald Celente's Trends magazine. So included 1 year of that, it's $100 value. So it's a great, very good purchase. We do have a limited supply of those. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter, and, of course, our radio programs are archived there. And but any questions regarding your gold and silver, give us a call. We love talking to you at 1-800-375-4188. And if you have any questions for today's program, or if you want to comment, do you think it is a movement of limited government, or do you think it's just another drama that we're going to see Democrats elected, you know, next year, a political drama that we've seen, theater? Give us a call at 1-800-596-8191.
All right, go ahead, give them the number again.
1-800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191. Or if you'd even like to comment on today's agreement coming out of Washington, give us a call. And you can email us also at questions@dgscoins.com. questions@dgscoins.com.
You know, I don't think the situation in Washington necessarily rises to the level of drama or theater, but I think it might rise to the level of cartoons. You get a certain amount of you know, got a little bit of the Roadrunner and the Wile E. Coyote thing going on here. The safe falls off the cliff and lands on the coyote every so often. I think drama is a little too sophisticated for what we're seeing, and certainly not theater. So, cartoons.
It's bad theater.
Bad theater.
Off Broadway somewhere. Anyway.
All right, what's next, Melody?
Oh.
But Detroit spent billions.
Yeah, let's move on to something different. I'm tired of talking about Washington.
Here's an article from Dealbook, and the headline is Detroit spent billions extra on pensions. Now, what this is about is the city of Detroit is filing for bankruptcy. The city of Detroit is something like $16 billion in debt, if I understand correctly, and they're never going to be able to pay it off. And one of the people and one of the groups that are screaming about this are the former city employees for the city of Detroit who have discovered that their pensions are no longer available. And they're very bothered by this, and they think this is completely unfair. But here's an article from Dealbook that raises, that shows us a different side of the equation. And it's part of a series of articles, three or four of them that I'm going to talk about. I don't know if we'll get to all of them. But stupid is as stupid does. This article is about stupidity. You understand? Stupidity in Detroit. Detroit's municipal pension fund made payments for decades to retirees, active workers, and others above and beyond normal benefits, costing the struggling city billions of dollars and helping to push it into bankruptcy. The payments, which were not publicly disclosed, included bonuses to retirees, supplements to workers not yet retired, and cash to the families of workers who died before becoming eligible to collect a pension. They were handing out money to anybody who had a pulse. Now, and they're doing all these alleged apparent good deeds as if they're helping people and these acts of compassion. Why, while they're doing these good deeds and these acts of compassion, why didn't the city disclose them to the public? The article says the payments, which were not publicly disclosed, bonuses, supplements, cash, why not disclose them? And the fact that they didn't disclose all these good deeds is evidence that the people in Detroit knew very well that these good deeds were actually criminal acts. They knew they were looting their own pension funds. The article goes on and says, how much each person received is not known, but available records suggest that the trustees approving the payments did not discriminate. Nearly everybody in the plans received them, meaning that nearly everybody in the pension plans who are working for the city and putting money in their pension plans and anticipating that there would be money when they retired, nearly everybody was complicit in stealing and looting their own pension plans. Not stealing from my pension plan, stealing from their own pension plan. And that means here they are today, and they're saying, oh, my gosh, there's no money in our pension plan. Well, yeah, that's because you guys stole it. You already received it. That's why there's none left. Joseph Hart, who served as Detroit's independent auditor general from 1995 to 2005, compared the government handouts to dandelions. He said, you just accept them. They were there, something you've seen all your life. What he's talking about is that looting their own pension funds was simply part of Detroit's culture. A criminal mentality to take whatever you can get was ingrained and accepted as normal for the city of Detroit. And now, oh my gosh, there's a day of reckoning. And the people are screaming and say, this is unjust. There's no money left. It's like being bank robbers, you understand, and robbing the bank where you have your own bank account, and then you come to complain and say, what the heck is this? I don't have any money left in my account. And the bank says, yeah, well, you robbed it. The article continues. It says, when asked on what legal authority the trustees made the payments, Mr. Harris said, my understanding was It had to be approved by the city council, and the council was under the belief that the money was there, that the pension funds were earning the money, with a consideration that in bad times the city would be making up the difference. I hate to say that. Ultimately, the fund has to be funded by, guess who? The taxpayers. And who do they mean, the taxpayers? They mean it's got to be funded by the people in the private sector. Because in the final analysis, government doesn't produce anything. The government employees can't fund their own pension funds. Where's the money come to pay for them? They are essentially a group of predators. They're essentially a group of parasites. They feed off the private sector. And it wasn't enough just to have a pension fund that you could collect when you finally retired. Why take a chance? You might not live that long. Why not take your pension now while you're still young and able to really enjoy it? And so they did. And now it's gone. And, you know, this, the idea that there's evidence that the city workers of Detroit, and according to this article, virtually all of them were in on this. They just winked at it. It's like the auditor said, oh, it was like dandelions. They were all around. You just accepted them. It became part of their culture. And there is a point to this. If you are stupid enough to embrace a system of values where you rob people, and particularly where you rob yourself, how dumb is that? Right? Well, you're going to come to a difficult and unpleasant conclusion. Now, here's another example of stupidity. This is from antiwar.com, and the headline is Obama. America exceptional because of all the wars. It describes Obama, he spoke to the United Nations back around September 20th. It's been 3 weeks anyway since he spoke to the UN. And while he was there, says, while giving lip service to the idea of diplomacy, President Obama made it clear repeatedly during the speech that his view of America's exceptionalism centers entirely around its willingness to fight wars. Obama insisted, quote, I believe America is exceptional in part because we have shown a willingness through the sacrifice of blood and treasure to stand up not only for our own narrow self-interest, but for the interests of all. Gee, doesn't that sound noble? But the truth of the matter is, Americans who support all these foreign wars are exceptional, all right. They're exceptionally stupid. Nations which expend their lives and treasure standing up for the interests of all other nations necessarily embrace costs that are contrary to their own best interests. By fighting other people's wars, we weaken ourselves and sacrifice our own ability to defend ourselves. If we go into war, how do we defend ourselves? I'm not saying we can't, but we've compromised that ability in part because we're in Iraq, we're in Afghanistan. What for? What were we there for? Does anyone know? Weapons of mass destruction. That's why we're in Iraq, or we were. We're in Pakistan because 20 people who allegedly participated in the 9/11 attacks had a training camp in Pakistan, someplace in the remote hills of Pakistan. And because 20 people were there in Pakistan, that becomes excuse to invade Pakistan. The whole thing is nuts, and we're itching for a chance to invade Syria and maybe Iran. Insofar as we engage in these stupid wars, we are as stupid as the people in Detroit who have looted their own pension plans. We're spending our money on idiotic expenses. We are spending lives and treasure, and you know, we are behaving in a way that's stupid. Here's another one. Syrian, this is from the New York Times. Syrian civilians bore brunt of rebels' fury. That's the headline. And the article is simply reports that the primary victims of the current civil war in Syria are the Syrian civilians. We hear about the fights and the clashes between the military forces of Syria, the government of Syria, and the rebels that are trying. But the truth of the matter is most of the casualties are among civilians. And this isn't unusual. Most of the casualties of war in the 20th century were civilians, not military. It's the civilians who die. It's the non-combatants who die. And they die three, four times the size of the deaths of the actual combatants. Now, the lesson is that civilians, also known as taxpayers, will be held liable for their own governments. And it's true. And you have to understand, it's not enough just to sit back and say that you're a good person, you don't want to get involved in politics. Too dirty. Don't want to get your hands dirty. You know, stay out of it. Go watch Dancing with the Stars. You're going to be held liable for what your government does. That's true in Syria, and it's been true in the 20th century, and it's going to continue to be true for the people of the United States of America. We are responsible for our own government. And insofar as we allow that government to commit criminal acts against America, against foreign countries, we are going to take the heat on that. Sooner or later, responsibility for that will fall down on us. You know, there was a time when war was honorable insofar as warriors fought other warriors. You used to have wars in Europe where Napoleon would line up on one side, the Duke of Ellington or Wellington would get up on the other side, and they would fight down in a valley, and the people in the nearby communities would pack a picnic lunch, and they would sit up on the surrounding hills, and they'd watch the battles. Well, you could see a certain amount of honor in those wars, where it was warrior fighting warrior. All right, I'm not in favor of the wars, but I'm just telling you, you can see that, warrior fighting warrior. But today, we don't have wars that are honorable. We have war that is increasingly psychotic, in that our warriors primarily kill non-warriors, civilians. Our wars are conducted against the civilians who have allowed their government to be criminal, who have allowed their government to be weak, who have ignored their government when it was a good government, didn't give it adequate support. They became disinvolved, and they thought if they weren't involved, they wouldn't be held liable. And I'm trying to communicate that it's foolish, stupid to think that you are not going to be held liable for what your government does. And insofar as that's true, it's incumbent on you to do something to keep your government in control. You can't just let these guys run wild. You have to make it your business to turn off the tube and every once in a while go to the city council meeting or get involved in state elections or get involved in federal elections and make your voice heard. Because if you don't, you're going to be held accountable for your silence. You will be held accountable for your apathy. You'll even be held accountable for your ignorance. Last one I'm going to talk about. We might run out of time here, but here, bungling bureaucrats dole out billions in tax credits to illegal alien immigrants. This is from the Washington Times. Federal government's decision to pay out billions of dollars in tax credits to illegal immigrants, likely made by mid-level bureaucrats, has never received full congressional scrutiny. They're going on. They passed out $4.2 billion to illegal immigrants in the form of tax refunds, right? And nobody's got a problem with this. We have created a world. And no one wants to even admit responsibility, and they speculate. This is mid-level executives in the IRS. It's not the leaders of the IRS, and it's certainly not the Congress. It's just some dummies in the mid-level management position at the IRS decided to hand out $4.2 billion to illegal aliens. This is as stupid for all of us. If you put up with it, I put up with it, Melody puts up with it. It's as stupid as burning your own house to the ground as a form of political demonstration. It's as stupid as looting your own pension funds and then complaining when it's time to collect on the pension that there's no money there. There is a tendency to stupidity in this country that is profound, persistent, and it has to be stopped. We have to not just get tough, we have to get smart. And if we fail to do so, we're going to pay a terrible price. I'm Alfred Addis. We're on Financial Survival here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. We were talking about, started this last segment with the idea that Detroit behaved like a bunch of damn fools. They're incredibly stupid in that they looted their own pension funds, and now the city workers that are still left are screaming that they're entitled to their pension funds, and we got to find somebody to pay for them. Get the taxpayers, fill them up again so we can loot them again. Whole thing is insane. But as easy as it is to point a finger at Detroit, what about pointing a finger at all of us? How many of you understand that there's no money in the Social Security Trust Fund? All we have there are cabinets, filing cabinets, full of IOUs from Congress. They've taken all the money you deposited into your Social Security account, which is for most people their pension fund. That's gone. It has been looted, much the same as the pension funds up in Detroit. And this has happened on a national basis. And everyone knows that there's virtually no money in the Social Security Trust Fund. There's no currency there. There's no bank account that amounts to anything. It's all IOUs from Congress. Congress has spent the money. And one of the interesting things about this is when Congress takes all of these dollars out of Social Security and spends them and says, oh, we promise to pay it back one of these days. Huh? Why do you suppose Congress didn't also take money out of their own pension fund and say, oh, let's contribute some of our pension fund running the government, and then we'll get it back one of these days. The government will pay us back. And the answer is that the Congress is not about to put its neck in the same noose that they think is so appropriate for those taxpayers, the dummies, the chumps, who've been putting their money into Social Security. They're going to protect, Congress is going to protect their money. They're not going to protect yours. Point I'm trying to make again is that there has been an outbreak of stupidity in this country that is enormous and persistent. And you have to look at this. You got to get this through your head. There's crazy people, stupid people, that are robbing your pension funds, that are robbing the currency by means of inflation. Bad things are taking place, and it may be that the only protection you may be able to rely on is you're going to have to become independent. You're going to have to do what you can to protect yourself, because the people you're relying on to protect you, they're not doing it. They may talk that game, but in the final analysis, they're not protecting us. They're wasting our money. They're wasting our economy. They're sending our jobs overseas. They are subsidizing illegal aliens to come into this country. You know, all of these are reasons that you have to start to take care of yourself and, you know, think through difficult times. And you also have to get involved. You can't be foolish enough. You're going to have to protect yourself, but you're still going to have to stand up and do something about the morons and the treasonous whores that are apparently running our government at this time. You're going to have to get involved, or you're leaving a mess for your children and grandchildren that will be perhaps impossible to correct.
We have a caller on the line, and we also have an email question. Let's go to Wayne from Texas. Good afternoon, Wayne.
Yeah, hi, guys. Good show today.
Thank you.
I just wanted to add a couple of things to a little fuel to the fire. Talking about the illegal aliens, it's gotten so bad that one site called CENSnews.com, June 21st this year, they reported that, according to their records, $46 million were sent to 23,000 illegal aliens using one address in Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how bad it's getting.
Yeah, I know. It's just stupid. And it's blatant, and that's what really offends me, and I've said that a number of times. I mean, if the government is going to be treacherous, if they're going to be corrupt, I wish they'd at least, if they're going to lie to me, I wish they'd at least give me lies that I might be able to believe. They are allegedly $4.2 billion handed out to $4.2 billion handed out to illegal aliens, and that's just in 2010. We're not talking about 2011, 2012. We're not talking about a total. We're talking about 1 year, according to this report. $4.2 billion to illegal aliens in a single year. Free money that they sent back home for their alleged children in Mexico. And the truth is the children were just made up. This cannot be allowed to take place without people going to jail. And yet the government just kind of shrugs and say, oh, golly, how did that happen? Was that such a surprise? You know? It just becomes absurd, and it's worse than absurd. It's organized crime. We're dealing with it every day, and it's not going to stop until we call it by its proper name and do whatever we have to do to make it stop. They aren't going to stop on their own because they're not good people. They're not bound by morality. What else you got for us, Wayne?
Yeah, absolutely. One other thing, too, you know, you're talking about the bankruptcy of Detroit and Tremendous and the Stockton, California one also. And the one issue no one's even talked about much is the fact that there's a whole other set of books that these cities use called a comprehensive annual financial report. And now I know you've probably heard of these things, but
in fact, I wrote one of the first articles on it. Walter Burian brought that information to me back in the early 1990s, and I wrote a series of articles on the comprehensive annual financial report. I wasn't the first, but I was one of the very first. I think there was one other magazine that just barely touched on it, but I was the first one to hit it extensively. And do you understand
exactly
the difference?
Yeah.
Do you understand the difference between the comprehensive annual financial report and the budget?
Oh, I do. Maybe a lot of your other listeners don't. But.
Well, what it comes down to is we hear people, the government comes down and says, well, here's the budget for 2014 or for 2015 or whatever. We got a budget. and we're going to spend this much on this and this much on this. We've got this much revenue, and here's our budget. The budget is what is going to happen in the future. It is nothing but a guess. It's like me planning to take a vacation, and I'm going to go to California. I'm going to drive from Dallas, and I'm going to swing down through El Paso and go on and up from and New Mexico and Arizona and so on, and we're going to get to California, and the first day we're going to go to Knott's Berry Farm, and then we're going to go to Disneyland and so on. And you make your plans, and it's like your summer vacation plans. But if you're driving down the road from Dallas to El Paso and you get a flat tire or some other problem with the automobile and you get held up for a day or two, all of a sudden your plans get completely changed. Maybe you're not going to Knott's Berry Farm. Maybe you're not going to Disneyland. The budget is like that. It is merely a guesstimate of what might happen. The comprehensive annual financial report, on the other hand, takes place after the year is over, and it is a report on how much money actually came in and how much money actually was spent. And one of the big differences in the information that was uncovered by Walter Burian is that if you dig into the comprehensive annual financial report, you'll find that government has taken in billions of dollars, I'm talking at the state level, beyond what they claim or expect in the budget. And they say, oh my gosh, we got to raise taxes because we don't have enough budget. Look, we don't have enough money in the budget. We've got to raise taxes. Truth is, they've got way more money coming in. It shows up in the comprehensive annual financial report, although it has to be read very closely to find it. Walter found billions of dollars in a footnote from New Jersey. I found billions of dollars have read the Texas Comprehensive Annual Financial Report in an entity called, I can't remember now. It's been close to 20 years since I wrote the articles. Texpool. Texpool was the name of it. They were handling more. They handled $1 trillion a year in and out of that one small entity. And because it was a trillion in and a trillion out, it balanced out. And you didn't realize somehow the government that was running on $20 billion a year at the time was handling an extra $1 trillion a year down here in Texas. Where did it come from? The whole thing, it's just more evidence of the kind of fraud that's been perpetrated against the American people, and it will not stop until people get involved. What do you think about getting involved, Wayne? You got any plans to run for office or anything like that?
Well, yeah, hey, I'd sure like to if I get a few million dollars. I need to tap a few CAFR funds to get me some budget money.
You know, not necessarily. But, you know, it's possible for people in the internet age. It's not likely, but it is possible for a very little amount of money. You put up a website, and if you got the right ideas, and if you're articulate and whatever, you post articles and whatever, it's not impossible that you might run a pretty effective candidacy without spending a great deal of money. It's not likely. I know that, but it's not impossible. So,
sure. Well,
but you got to do something.
Is going back to Walter and what he did, it's important to note that in his case, I think he's noted that the operating revenues that some of these cities have, only about a third of it come from taxes and all that. Two-thirds are coming from the investment income of these CAFR accounts, you know, with all the investments and questions and all that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you see these cities and school systems going belly up, supposedly, but somebody's going out the back door with a whole pocket full of money, people need to understand that.
Yeah. Walter uncovered there were instances where people who were merely in control of the extra money could get rich. You didn't have to steal it, but you could go up to a local bank and say, look, I've got a $20 billion that I can deposit into your bank. And in return, I want you to make an unenforceable loan to my brother-in-law for, let's say, $5 million. Because he wants to build a ranch down in Brazil. The banks would do that. To get that $20 billion in there, to get the $20 billion in their accounts, they would give that special deal to the brother-in-law or whoever. And it was just a form of incredible graft, but big money. And point is, you can get rich just handling other people's money. And the CAFR account, there was evidence that, you know, CAFR made that clear. You could see it if you read it closely. Anything else for us, Wayne?
Absolutely. Thanks, Al. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate you listening.
Hey, let's get to this question real quick before we run out of time. According to Bloomberg, the U.S. AAA rating grade was placed on rating watch negative by Fitch Ratings, which cited the government's failure to raise its borrowing limit as the Treasury's deadline nears. Since the can was kicked down the road to February, does this change the rating status because nothing was resolved?
Well, I can't answer that question, but the truth of the matter is that the rating status is almost certainly exaggerated. All right, there. If it's double A right now, and maybe they were on a credit watch or whatever, and they said, "Oh, we may have to diminish it even further." Maybe they will, maybe they won't, but they won't come anywhere near to what an honest credit rating would be for a nation that is in debt for perhaps as much as $202 trillion. I mean, we're not entitled to a double A rating. Our credit rating should probably be down around junk, and we can see evidence of that in the fact that the only people that are really buying our government's bonds are the Federal Reserve. About 20% are still being sold to foreign entities, but 80% of the bonds, the new bonds that have been issued, are reportedly being purchased by the Federal Reserve. That's evidence that nobody really wants this stuff. That's evidence that the credit rating should not be double A. It should be way down below that, although who knows where it should be, but it's not objective. So what exactly was that question again? Will the credit rating fall when they've just kicked it down the road? It should fall. Kick the can down the road. It should fall. All right. In a reasonable world, it would fall. But how many of you think we're living in a reasonable world? You know, we are.
And the government will
the
just turn around and sue them.
It's been postponed. It's been suppressed for a while. The day is coming when reason is going to reassert itself. And when it does, it's going to be a harsh situation. We're no longer going to do new math where it doesn't matter what answer you get just so long as you feel good about yourself. We're going to actually count the numbers. We're going to find out what the real numbers are. And when we do, people are going to be shocked. They're going to be appalled. They're going to be devastated when they find out we're going to get a dose of reality, and it will be painful for a lot of people. We've got about 30 seconds, Melody. Anything you want to add?
No, I just want to remind the listeners that Gerald Celente should be here tomorrow at the second segment on the program. So Al and I will do the first. Wendy's been changed to next week. There was just the conflict in Gerald's schedule, so he will be here tomorrow. And we have the special going, Mint State 61, $20 Liberty Gold piece, and you would receive a one-year subscription to Gerald Celente's Trend magazine. And I will also extend it if anybody would like their international forecaster subscription renewed. We can do that too on this same coin. It's about the same price. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188, 800-375-4188.
Okay, we're out of here. We'll be back mañana. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer.
Bye-bye.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
Money, money, money. Money, money, money.